people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind. A moment where we can sit back, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't go out there, get a conversation started with friends, family, people we meet on the street, or maybe just get those gears turning in our own head and see if we can't chase a rabbit down a rabbit hole and see where it leads us. Now, back in the day, when I was just a wee lad, just a kid, there's a phrase that existed, and I'm sure it still exists now. Pics, or it didn't happen. Take a picture to prove that a situation happened. Otherwise, why should we believe you? Now, back in the day, I grew up with film cameras. Take a picture, get it on film, and then you take it to the store and they develop it. Pictures printed out. Had Polaroids, so that way you didn't have to take those pictures to the store. You got instant results, one-of-a-kind copies. Prove your point. Now everybody's got digital cameras, mobile video cameras, and we got the social medias uploading it everywhere. And the thing with the internet, at least the way I consider it, is once it makes it into that digital super sphere, it's alive forever. It will forever exist. So that pics or didn't happen all of a sudden becomes permanent. Modified, not pictures, but they exist. Back in the day with regular old newspapers, if you made it into the newspaper, it was there. And if you didn't read the newspaper outside of that locale, right? If you didn't make it into the New York Times, you just made it into Localville newspaper. And that's as far as it went. You kind of disappeared into the past. You just another person there. But again, with this online era that we have today, I can go in and find Localville, USA newspapers. I can find Local Hamlet, UK, or whatever, any tiny little town, read their local newspaper, and I can discover something about someone. Be that the local fire department saving a kitten out of a tree, or someone having a drunk driving incident, maybe a proper charity, a very successful soup line for the homeless, or maybe a murderous rampaging spree, or maybe something innocuous enough as just a bad joke, form a bad judgment. What's our right to disappear within history, to become innocuous to the general public? When you're a person of interest, and I would file journalists into people of interest, they want to get their name out, they want to be known for words and actions that they've documented, put out there to people as powerful as presidents, state representatives, or actors and actresses. You want your name out there. You want to be recognized. You want that Q rating. You want your previous body of work to be discovered so people know where you stand, where you've changed your lines. But regular old John Doe and Jane Smith, sometimes we don't always need to be remembered and etched in history as certain other individuals. The right to be forgotten is a kind of a tedious subject. I mean, again, we want to know what these people of prominence that would like to be recognized in the public eye would be like to be known for, what they've said, what they've stood for. But what happens when you're a kid and you do something dumb? I don't know if you've been a kid. I don't know if you've done something dumb. I know I've had my fair share of growing up experiences of, well, I shouldn't do that again, or that was less than intelligent of a choice. And I knew back in the day that when I was doing my hoodlum stuff, being a little punk kid, made sure not to have cameras around. I didn't want evidence. That's evidence. That's proof that something happened, pics or it didn't happen. But we've got kids today that have done some crazy things. There's a local story, happened a while ago, where a kid was asking another kid out to a dance. And everybody's got to be creative. And this kid might have taken it just a step too far. They wrote on their sign, If I was black, I'd be picking cotton, but instead, I pick you to Tolo. Now, that's not very PC, and especially in these trying times of language policing, making sure everybody is not taken down. Is there comedy in that? Maybe. Depends on your point of view. Was it meant to be derogatory? I don't believe so. Can it be? Absolutely. It's not a pleasant time in our country's past. But they're a kid. They're a high school kid. High schoolers, at least the ones that I knew of, like to push the boundaries, like to be edgy. Now, this individual's name, I'm sure, got printed a handful of times throughout a couple of different papers. And what happens when they go to apply for a job and the employer does a Google search or Bing search or DuckDuckGo search, and this person's name pops up? Are they all of a sudden disqualified for actions that they did when they were younger? What things or actions did you take when you were younger that, if they were recorded via picture or print, would ruin your chances for employment in the future? Now, this news story, you know, going as big as it did, maybe it taught the kid a lesson. I recall that they went out and made an apology saying that they didn't think it all the way through. But again, they're a kid. How far in the future do kids think? I honestly thought I didn't think I would live till age 35 when I was younger. Figured I'd just die. You know, that was so far in the future when I was 16. Eons and eons. Then you start getting older and older and you're like, well, apparently I'm living longer than I already anticipated. And I know not everybody has those thoughts, but it's just kind of how it goes along. So you do stupid things. Now, last week, I also talked about TikTok. And we have another individual, another kid that has made their place in history, at least for a time being. I'd like to thank Hog Story, John Fletcher, and Carolyn Blaney for bringing this to my attention a while ago. But still, a TikTok user got a harmonica stuck in their mouth. Well, that's embarrassing. How do you go about doing that? But her name got plastered all over the internet. Now, do I think a harmonica getting stuck in your mouth will prevent you from getting employed? No. But what happens when you start becoming of dating age or whatnot? Or maybe you do get a job. Now you're a financial advisor or a project manager. And now you have to work with an exterior company. And that extra company needs to do work with you, and they do a little bit of background check, make sure they know where you're coming from, who you are, what your personality is. Oh, you're the girl that got the harmonica stuck in her mouth. Does that change someone's social perception of you and how they treat you? Does that dominate the conversation? Now, I don't think she's walking down the street and people are identifying her, but again, that's just, do you want to be answering that question in 20 years? So what was it like to get that harmonica stuck? Pics or it didn't happen. Now, what about the people that want to be in the public eye of things? And maybe they have a lapse of judgment on things they've said, or maybe they've changed their perception in the past. There's that story of the lady who made a very racist joke about going to Africa and catching AIDS. That kind of, she made the joke about, made that joke before hopping onto the plane. And then when she landed, her Twitter account had blown up and she was officially let go from the company for making such a negligent thought. Can there be humor in the joke? Yes, there can be, depending on your point of view. Can it be insensitive? Absolutely. Was it a lapse in judgment? Probably. But will this, can she apologize? Can she make a big enough public statement to say, I'm sorry? Again, will the next employer understand that it was just a lapse in judgment? But does her name, for her popularity, is that now too big? And although the employer says, I can hire you, I can't because your name is too tainted. Now, maybe one of the solutions is to change your name, go through that lovely rigmarole. From what I understand, it's just an absolute pleasant experience. And that was sarcasm for those who couldn't hear it. But you change your name, go that way of obfuscation, and go into your own personal witness protection, so you can't be immediately tied back. But those who are willing to do the digging will find and do the digging. Now, what about the laws of right to be forgotten? Now, in some of these situations that I've outlined, you get the news stories to go through, and or the news sources, or the Google search results. News stories will last. It's the right of the newspapers to maintain history, kind of part of their underwritten job. But you tell the Google search results, the Bing search results, not to look up those things. Don't pull up those specific stories. Just kind of have them hidden. But that becomes a problem because your article is in small town USA newspaper, but then it gets reprinted by 7 other newspapers, and then someone does a blog on it. Are the algorithms strong enough to not find that information real easy? The right to be forgotten laws, mostly, as far as my limited research goes, are focused on the search engines, not being able to find them. Again, if we look back at old newspapers, you can do something stupid, and someone can pull up some microfiche and find it. They can find all the information. And that's the same with getting creative with your search results. Now, there's other ways to obfuscate your search results, and that's where you hire a company to go through and create many new positive things, positive images. And instead of bringing up your negative tweet on page 1 of the search results, you get these companies to go through and make positive stories about you. You saved a kitten from a tree. You opened up a daycare center. You planted flowers in the local park. You won a cakewalk. All sorts of fun, positive, uplifting things. And you get that to dominate the first 3 pages of search results, because we know nobody goes past page 1. And again, there's companies that do this for you. They're not cheap. I mean, that's a lot of work. Probably takes a team and lots of pictures and get it all squared away. But does that fall under lying? What happens when the people come through and they find out that you've modified or overindulged, you've stuffed the ballot box of positive results? Does that affect your hiring process, your workability, your teamwork process? Not too sure. I mean, these are definitely new times. These are evolving times. There's a lot of stuff on the internet. Again, once it's on the internet, it's there for good. Where do we go from here? Now, if you ask me, the best way to obfuscate your results, the best way to be forgotten, is don't take the picture in the first place. Don't post the video in the first place. But hindsight's 20/20. We all make bad decisions and we learn from them. That's our job. That's what we do as humans living in this society. And maybe you can take some of these ideas and, like I said, get those gears turning. Get the ideas rolling. Figure it all out. And we can come to a collective agreement on how to be forgotten in these ever-permanent times of the internet. I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You go to the website, billybones.com. You find past episodes there. You can find a link to the Discord server, or you go so far as to email me. Let me know what I got right, what I got wrong. Maybe I left something out. Maybe I should have added more. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found any value out of this, I first ask that you give the show a share. Maybe someone else will get a different thinking point, different talking point out of it. But if you found monetary value, you're welcome to chip in. You're welcome to donate. You go to the website, billybones.com. You scroll all the way down, you click the value for value button, and it'll take you to PayPal. Donate whatever you think it's worth. But otherwise, I love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
We'll be right back.